At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Thursday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I have a question for you. Has the legacy media jumped the shark? Now, those who are old enough will remember Happy Days, when Happy Days was so very, very popular, and there, you know, it's hard to keep your popularity up year after year after year. Fonzie was the big character on Happy Days, and they had an episode where Fonzie, who can, I mean, he was like Superman. He could do anything, and they put him on water skis, and he had to jump over a shark, and he's skiing behind the boat with his leather jacket. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so that became known as a statement, a little euphemistic statement, when something has gone too far, you've jumped the shark. You can't come back from that. Well, I was listening to a piece by conservative commentator Victor Davis Hanson, and he poses that question. And he makes the case that the legacy media, they have jumped the shark. They have slit their own throats with all their lies and their negative reporting of Donald Trump and anything positive, Elon Musk and others. We're going to get into that today. But I wanted to start this off by reading from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. Now, I have a Bible software program on my iPad and then also on my computer that I use a lot. It gives me the Greek, gives me the Hebrew, and I have a lot of different versions on this software program. It's called eSword. And so Proverbs 14, 15 says that the naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. That's the New American Standard. Here's what it says in the ERV, the Easy to Read version. I like this version. It sounds like a Bible for dummies, but it's really a good version. It says this: fools believe every word they hear, but wise people think carefully about everything. Wise people are careful and avoid trouble. Fools are too confident and careless. A quick-tempered person does stupid things, but it is also true that people don't like anyone who quietly plans evil. Fools are rewarded with more foolishness. Smart people are rewarded with knowledge. So let's go back to that first verse, Proverbs 14, 15. Fools believe every word they hear, but wise people think carefully about everything. Now, it used to be way back in the dark ages, so to speak, back in the Walter Cronkite days of news reporting, that a news reporter was supposed to be neutral. He didn't create news. He didn't spin the news. He just reported the news. But those days are long gone, and we have to take everything we hear with a grain of salt. I had Rod Martin on the program yesterday, and we were talking about how do people discern the truth. You have to be discerning to know, am I getting the real story here? And Rod's response was, well, they can listen to you, Jeff. They can listen to me and go and get the Rod Martin report because they're going to get the truth. They can listen to American Family Radio and they can get the truth. If you're getting your news from CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, it's all slanted. It's all tainted. And in the words of Victor Davis Hanson, those news outlets have jumped the shark. This is what he had to say, and we're going to play some of this clip and then interact with it.
I've been critical of media, as many of you are, but recently it's jumped the proverbial shark. In other words, it's gotten so outrageous, it's almost incomprehensible, unfathomable. Elon Musk, according to the Media Research Center, has had 96% unfavorable coverage in our American media. What did he do that was so wrong? He rescued astronauts who were stranded in space. Tesla has revolutionized the electric vehicle industry. Social media is open and free due to his acquisition of X. Starlink has more satellites, that private entity that he created. It has more satellites than the governments of the United States, all of the EU countries, and China combined. It is the world's methodology of accessing high-speed internet from remote places or anywhere. So what has he done wrong? If you look at the media coverage of Abrego Garcia, the deported illegal alien who beat his spouse, and by the way, there's new information even today coming out about the violence which he inflicted on his wife. He dragged her out of a car. He hit her in the face repeatedly. She was afraid he was going to kill her. This was a horrible person. We have the tapes from the trafficking stop where he was speeding. His license was invalid. He had members that he was trafficking that were illegal, as was he. I could go on and on, but he is a sympathetic character in the media's eyes, and the greatest Renaissance man of the 21st century is a villain. It makes no sense.
So brings up the great point. You have Elon Musk, who has done so much for humanity, so much for America, but he attached himself. Now, he was the media darling until he attached himself to President Trump, and he weighed in on President Trump's campaign, and he took the position as the head of DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, and started to look into all the different agencies and all the waste, fraud, and abuse. Well, then the left sympathizing media, who, I mean, I don't know how else you can say, they're just a propaganda arm for the Democrat Party, and you might take offense at that, but that's basically what they are. They're like kicking an anthill. Anybody in Texas knows if you accidentally kick an anthill, those ants will come out big time and they will bite you. They will, ants, you get enough of them and you sit there in the ant pile, they'll kill you. And that's what we see with the media. It's just relentless. And so Elon Musk, 96% negative for a guy that is trying to do good for every single American and to do good around the world. Negative. We're going to burn his cars. We're going to, scratch Nazi into the side of Teslas because Elon Musk is a Nazi. As one lady said, I saw her, it's kind of a man on the street interview. She was protesting, and she said she would rejoice if Elon Musk were dead. It's like, this doesn't make any sense. Well, it's the media pumping all this information constantly that is negative, negative, negative about Donald Trump, about his administration, about anybody associated with him, and especially about Elon Musk. And then Abrego Garcia, a guy who is, to quote Joe Biden, a bad dude like Corn Pop. Corn Pop was a bad dude. You can listen to him talking about that. Abrego Garcia, he's not MS-13 and much is said about the tattoos on his knuckles. Abrego Garcia is not a good guy. He's a thug. He looks to be a gangbanger. He hangs out with thugs and gangbangers. He, from all appearances, I mean, if somebody put a gun to my head, I'd say for sure that guy's MS-13. He's part of a gang. You wouldn't even have to put a gun to my head. Hey, Jeff, I'll for here's $5. What do you think? Yeah, he's an MS-13 gang member, and the media paints him like he's the sweetest guy on the planet. He's the Maryland man. He's a father, a husband and a father, and he's so faithful and he's so wonderful. Wouldn't you like to live next door to Kilmar Abrego Garcia? No. And aren't you sad that he was deported? No. We need to get more people out of the country like this guy who is an obvious criminal. So, Elon Musk is bad, according to the legacy media, according to the media that has jumped the shark. Then, hey, fools believe every word they hear. If you're believing everything you're hearing from Rachel Maddow and Jake Tapper and Caitlin Collins, I hate to say it, but you're not being discerning at all. And the Bible would say, well, you're a fool. Fools believe everything they hear, but wise people think carefully about everything. Do your homework on things. And you got to start asking yourself, okay, let's look at all the things that Elon Musk has done. Why is he so vilified? This guy, as Victor Davis Hanson said, he's a Renaissance man, and yet the legacy media paints him as one of the worst guys on the planet. Well, let's go on.
When we get to this question of illegal aliens, we had Judge Dugan, the Wisconsin judge, who, remember, she hid an illegal alien, I shouldn't say hid, obstructed federal authorities from accessing him when they knew they had a writ out for him. And he was in her courtroom on charges that he had assaulted three people. And those victims were in the courtroom. Judge Dugan did not say to the victims, here is the person who assaulted you. I want to watch this courtroom drama and see how justice is carried out. No, she ignored them. She ignored the prosecutor. She took the law into her own hands, broke her oath of office, and escorted him out. What's my point? On PBS, on their nightly news hour, public TV, the conservative commentator, and I think it with all due justice to David Brooks, he wouldn't consider himself a conservative anymore. But nonetheless, that is how PBS operates left right, by getting someone who really isn't a genuine conservative to reflect the conservative view of half America. But he said that she was at one point heroic. It's not, David, it's not heroic to break your oath of office. It's not heroic to betray people who are in your courtroom seeking justice and to snub them. It's not heroic to try to help somebody evade a federal authority and put their lives in danger. They had to chase him down. They had no idea what he would do or who he might meet. And so she was aiding and abetting a criminal. That is not a heroic thing to do, especially if you're a judge. And then we come to John.
So what that judge did was criminal, and she was arrested for it. She should have been. But how do we hear about that on CNN, PBS, MSNBC, all these different Democratic news outlets, these left-sympathizing news outlets? Well, you know, how dare the Trump administration do this? I mean, in their minds, those guys have committed the unpardonable sin by actually enforcing the law. What she did was noble, and it was heroic. It wasn't. As Victor Davis Hanson points out, it was a crime what she did. She put people's lives in jeopardy with those agents that had to run him down. And she didn't provide justice for the actual victims. You know, we have such an upside down sense of justice in the minds of those who have been infected with liberalism. You take the criminals and you make them victims. And you take the victims and you make them criminals. As the scripture says in Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. Hey, there's a woe on you. Your moral compass is broken. And you need to get back to understanding the difference between right and wrong. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're discussing this question, has the media jumped the shark? And we're making the case to show that they surely have. And as Proverbs 14:15 says, fools believe every word they hear, but wise people think carefully about everything. It's important for you to judge with righteous judgment. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Let me ask you, are you concerned about the future of education in America? Well, tonight, American Family Association at Home is releasing Episode 7, titled The Future of Education in America. So what is AFA at Home? It's a video series produced by American Family Association and hosted by Walker Wildman. And the series addresses the cultural and spiritual issues facing America from the perspective of leading Christian voices. The issues discussed include evangelism, discipleship, marriage and family, morality, sanctity of human life, stewardship, and religious liberty. So tonight, parents across the country are concerned about Marxism and humanistic indoctrination of America's school children. And so that is going to be the focus. And it's tonight at AFA at Home. And you can tune in. Go to stream.afa.net. The release is 6 p.m. Central Time. And you can go watch a trailer of it. Stream.afa.net. And so I think it'll be well worth your time. A great subject and very important for parents and for parents to know what's going on and what's being taught at the school and how to influence the school. I like what one person said. I think it was Bill Federer when he was on the program. You know, how do we make a difference in our community? Start with school board elections. Make sure you have strong, moral, godly people on your school board that can police things and make sure we're not indoctrinating our children. Well, we talked in the first segment, and we want to continue this. Has the media jumped the shark? You know, have they slit their own throat, so to speak, by expressing themselves in such a way that even fools will say, that's not right. 96% negative on Elon Musk, the Renaissance man, as he is referred to by Victor Davis Hanson, the conservative commentator, and 96% positive by the legacy media concerning Kilmar Abrego Garcia, an obvious criminal, gangbanger, wife beater, child sex trafficker. I mean, the list goes on and on about what this guy is involved in. Now, I have these conversations with AI, with Grok, and Grok doesn't like to say anything about, you know, unless it's proven, unless Kilmar Abrego Garcia said, yes, I'm in the gang, MS-13, I committed these crimes. Grok's always saying, well, you know, the evidence is inconclusive, blah, blah, blah. So finally, you know, if you pin down AI and say, you have to make a decision here based on what we know about this guy. Tell me what you would say if you have to decide today. And then they say, well, yeah, I mean, he's not a good guy. We're not talking about a Boy Scout here. This is a bad, as we said, he's like Corn Pop. He's a bad dude. And he deserves to be where he is, locked up in El Salvador. So what about John Fetterman? That's another thing that Victor Davis Hanson said. How is the media addressing John Fetterman, the senator from, where is he? From Pennsylvania, I think. So this is what he says about John Fetterman.
Fetterman, this is very strange, the media's reaction to him. Remember, he ran for the Senate And during that campaign, he had a severe stroke, and he was nearly incapacitated. He was running against the Republican TV medical guru, Dr. Oz, who's now in charge of the federal programs that oversees Medicare and Social Security medical plans, Medicaid and Medicare. But here's my point. During that campaign, people had legitimate differences of opinion with him, and they were worried that he was non compos mentis. He hadn't fully recovered from a stroke. The left said, no, he's fine. This is very cruel to suggest that a candidate who's struggling to be rehabilitated is somehow demented or something. Okay, so he won. And then gradually over the last 2 years, he is, I don't know what the word, he has reacted in opposition to the hard left drift of the Democratic Party, especially on the taboo subject of support for Israel. He's been a staunch supporter of Israel. He's even said that he might even support the confirmation hearing he did of Pete Hegseth. And what was the media's reaction? Suddenly they went from A to Z, from the Alpha to the Omega. They said, well, something's wrong with him. We have inside reports that he's non compos mentis. He doesn't know what he's saying. He might have to step down. This was the same group of media grandees that said that he was perfectly fine when he seemed to be an authentic progressive. When he's not, then all of a sudden he's a threat to the sanctity of the Senate and should be removed. This is incredible what the media is doing. Remember, this is not new. They told us that Donald Trump was non compos mentis, that the acting attorney general.
Non compos mentis. I've never used that term, but he likes to use it, Victor Davis Hanson. So what is he saying? Well, they're all for Fetterman when Fetterman's all for their agenda. But as soon, and they're covering for him big time because, yeah, he's gotten better. I will say that, but when I saw the debate between him and Oz, Dr. Oz, and he was obviously deficient mentally from that stroke. But you know, covering for him, oh no, he's great, he's sharp, as a tack, and now he's saying things they don't like. Now he is getting sharper, and they're saying no, they're throwing him under the bus. All this just undermines any credibility that these new news agencies once had. They're slitting their own throats. And the biggest one is the situation with Joe Biden. You know, Jake Tapper came out with, he's got a book out, and he's now saying, well, Joe Biden, you know, the White House lied to us. Joe Biden wasn't sharp as a tack mentally. But Jake Tapper is the one who went after Laura Trump and was just so disgusted with her because she dared, this was a year or so ago, she dared to say that Joe Biden is not mentally fit for the office. This was the interchange and exchange between Jake Tapper and Laura Trump.
Every time he comes on stage or they turn to him, I'm like, Joe, can you get it out? Let's get the words out, Joe. You kind of feel bad for him.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
First and foremost, I had no idea that Joe Biden ever suffered from a stutter. I think what we see on stage with Joe Biden, Jake, is very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
It's so amazing. It's so amazing to me
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
Well, when you're trying to tell me that what I was suggesting was a stuttering.
I think that you were mocking his stutter. I think you were mocking his stutter, and I think you have absolutely no standing to diagnose somebody's cognitive decline. I would think that somebody in the Trump family would be more sensitive to people who do not have medical licenses diagnosing politicians from afar. Plenty of people have diagnosed your father from afar, and I'm sure it offends you, your father-in-law from afar, I'm sure it offends you. You don't have any standing to say...
I'm not diagnosing him. What I'm saying, Jake,
you just talked about a cognitive decline.
I
have one last question for you, Laura. You can't
many times on stage, and it's very concerning to a lot of people that this could be the leader of the free world.
Okay.
That is all I'm saying. I genuinely
you,
feel
Laura
sorry
Trump.
For Joe Biden.
I appreciate it. I'm sure.
So very dismissive. How dare you? Anybody with half a brain and two eyes and two ears knew that Joe Biden was in cognitive decline. The guy was in politics for 50 years or something like that. And the Joe Biden, who was 40, 50, 60 years old, could speak, and he could speak well, and he could remember things. And the Joe Biden that was president for 4 years, he's a shell of his former self. It was embarrassing. So now, a year or so later, Jake Tapper comes out, writes in his book about the cognitive decline of Joe Biden. I guess he got a medical degree between that conversation with Laura Trump and now, because he says you can't diagnose anybody unless you have a medical degree, which is ridiculous. I mean, you can hear somebody and tell this guy's not all there. Well, this is what Jake Tapper had to say now concerning Joe Biden.
I think some of the criticism is fair, to be honest, of me. Certainly, I'm not going to speak for anybody else. But knowing then what I know now, I look back at my coverage during the Biden years, and I did cover some of these issues, but not enough. I look back on it with humility. What we learned through our reporting is that starting in around 2019, 2020, there were two Bidens. There was a Biden that was perfectly workable, serviceable, seemed fine. And then there was a non-functioning one that couldn't come up with names of top aides, that would lose his train of thought to an alarming degree. And that non-functioning Biden reared his head increasingly over and over. It really seemed to exacerbate and get much worse in 2023, 2024.
All right, so he has to admit, yeah, okay, well, and this idea that there were two Joe Bidens, I didn't see that at all. There was just one Joe Biden, and he was Joe Biden in cognitive decline. You still may remember the Joe Scarborough program that he did talking about Joe Biden, and he had the audacity. This was probably 2 months before Biden dropped out of the race, because when he was debating Trump on the national stage and everybody watching, I mean, he was terrible. And everybody said, this guy can't do it. But Joe Scarborough, just a couple of months before that, said this version of Joe Biden, I've known Joe Biden for, decades. This version of Joe Biden is the very best version of Joe Biden. Well, you lose all credibility when you have the audacity to say something that is so obviously false. Everybody can see this. And so the legacy media, as you've heard said, I mean, they've slit their own throat with their lies. And they're saying things that they know are not true. I saw one reporter with Elizabeth Warren. And he was asking Elizabeth Warren, why did you say these things about Joe Biden being sharp? Well, that's what I saw. I saw him sharp. He was, doing all these things. And she's trying to play it off. I never saw these things. They didn't tell us these things, that he was slipping. And he kept pressing her on it. And he said, well, you think he is sharp and was as sharp as you? Something to that effect. And she had to hold back a smile, and she said, something like, yeah, okay, you got me there. And then she wanted to move on to another subject. These people in politics are not stupid. I mean, they can add up 2 + 2. They have an agenda, obviously. The people in the legacy media have an agenda. And they seem to be, from all we can tell, without assigning nefarious motives and getting into somebody's heart, but they're just in the tank for the Democratic Party, and it's very, very obvious. I asked AI today, Grok 3, if the media gave a fair and balanced coverage of President Trump, what would they be positive about? And they started listing all these things that President Trump has done, economic initiatives and trade deals. They would be bragging about that focus on American jobs. Trump's policies, such as securing critical minerals and blocking China from accessing them, have been praised for bringing jobs back to the U.S. and prioritizing American workers. Everybody should be glad about that, but CNN, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, ABC, they're all, you know, they can't say anything positive about Trump, just like they can't say anything positive about Elon Musk. As Victor Davis Hanson said, you know, the guy just rescued two astronauts who were stuck. Boeing couldn't get them back. NASA couldn't get them back. The only hope that they had, if Elon Musk had said, well, I'm not going to do it, would be to go to Russia to see if Russia could get them back. And so it's amazing what they do, how they just paint everything so negatively. Foreign policy and diplomacy, the Middle East stance, that's a positive for President Trump. Syria sanctions removed, that's a positive. You don't hear that from the legacy media. Efforts toward peace between Russia and Ukraine, that's a positive. Border security, domestic policy achievements. Obviously, securing the border, that's huge. He did that in 3 months. Biden was just letting him pour in. I mean, that's not disputed. He was just letting him pour in, and now the border has been secure. Government efficiency. Trump's push to cut government waste and reduce federal spending has been positively received by some, with supporters on X and in reports noting public approval for streamlining bureaucracy, public engagement, and leadership style. Trump is very open. Trump has these meetings with the press. He answers questions. Biden didn't do any of that. But do you ever hear anything positive about those things? No, they hate the guy. Well, because you're just negative, 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 we have Trump derangement syndrome, we're in the media, we hate you, and we're gonna paint anything you do as negative. Well, guess what? You lose all your credibility with a person who says, hey, I want to be fair and balanced and impartial. And they're not that at all. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we're talking about this question, has the media jumped the shark? I think the answer is obvious. Yes, they have. And so when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call. And let's talk. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners just like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. So please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the media, the legacy media, all the CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS. There are probably some others in there, but known as legacy media. Fox News is different from those other news outlets, but all those others that I mentioned that are known as the legacy media, they're all in the bag, in the tank for the Democrat Party, for the liberal agenda. Tell stories or share the news from this spin of the liberal spin. They're the ones ready to jump on the Jesse Smollett. Well, Jesse Smollett says that he was, at 2 o'clock in the morning in downtown Chicago, he was accosted by two MAGA people who put a rope around his neck and poured bleach on it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And they all were ready to believe that. I saw a Twitter post from Kamala Harris, and just she was, oh, I love Jesse Smollett. This is horrible. This racism has to stop. I mean, she just believed his lie. Well, the guy was obviously lying. It's proven that he was lying. The guy said, yeah, he hired us to do that. But the legacy media is ready to just go with that story because it fits their narrative. Now, Trump cut a deal or was at the negotiating table with China. And things were very positive, very favorable. But according to the left, according to the Democrats, it was terrible. And Trump got played by Xi Jinping and China, and the legacy media follows suit. Yeah, Trump's an idiot, and we're in such worse shape. He messes everything up. Well, this is Senator John Kennedy, the senator from Louisiana, who has to be one of the funniest guys in politics. He was being interviewed regarding Trump's negotiations with China.
What do you make of that deal? And what message do you think it sends to the rest of the world? And Scott Bessent said 130 countries are lined up.
Well, I think it's obvious. Unless you're the reason that your parents drank, you see that it was a big victory, not just for President Trump, but for America. Before the president did what he did, China's tariffs on the United States were a little over 20% on average. Now they're 10. Our tariffs on China were a little over 20, now they're 30. That's a 20-point swing. Now, I've listened all day to some of my Democratic colleagues say that, well, we didn't get anything for it. If you believe that, I'm not saying you're the dumbest person in the world, but you better hope the dumbest person in the world doesn't die. It was a clear victory. The other point I would make, I think Trump understands how to deal with China. Look, the Chinese, not the people of China. I'm speaking about the Chinese Communist Party. They're thieves. They steal with both hands. They will steal your socks without taking off your shoes. That's how they've gotten rich. We let them into the World Trade Organization on December 11th of 2001. And one, they started cheating December 12th. And Trump was the first president, he did this in the first term, to ever stand up to China and say, stop the stealing. And now he's doubled down and it's working. We still got a long way to go. China cheats in other ways besides tariffs, with quotas and subsidies and stealing intellectual property. But this is a hell of a good start.
Whoops. I didn't know he said that. Well, that was Senator John Kennedy, and he's just a funny guy, but he's obviously a smart guy too. But I love that line. You know, I'm not saying you're the dumbest person in the world, but you better hope the dumbest person doesn't die. Obviously, it's a victory. Trump knows what he's doing when it comes to negotiating. And he negotiates not as a politician, but as a businessman. And he is the sales rep for America. I think that's how he looks at things. And in my estimation, he's doing a great job. Has he done a perfect job? No, he's not a perfect person. And because, as you've heard me say before, there's only been one perfect person that's ever lived in the world. His name was Jesus, and we nailed him to a tree. So, this idea that we're going to have all these, you know, this politician has to be perfect. Hey, he's not perfect, but he's doing a good job. And you don't have to be perfect to do a good job, to be a good sales rep for the United States of America. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I'd love to hear from you. And we have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Gil. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was, yes, sir, praise the Lord. I'll be 62 here in a couple more months if the Lord tarries or calls me home first. But anyway, I had seen come up through the, I think we're around the same age, where the guy would just come on and report the news. And I can't wrap my mind around Pastor Jeff. Why are they so negative? I mean, is it brainwashing? I just don't understand. And I just, just, I'm reminded of the story where the man builds his three sons a clubhouse, and they don't like the clubhouse, so they take sticks and rocks and tear it down. Well, the father comes out and says, "Well, guess what, son? You don't have a clubhouse now." What are they just trying to tear this country apart? Is it divide and conquer, Pastor Jeff?
Yeah, great question. Well, I think they hate America. My personal opinion was Barack Obama hated America. So did his wife. I heard Michelle Obama say when he was elected, you know, this is the first time in my life I've ever been proud of the United States. You know, that's not a good statement. That's somebody that doesn't like our country and doesn't like the Constitution and doesn't like our history. And so, you know, is America's history perfect? No. But, you know, it's frustrating when you think the left criticizes American history, and they criticize Donald Trump and George Bush and Ronald Reagan and any conservative. It seems like they always want to compare America to some perfect country somewhere. Well, where is that? It doesn't exist. So if you compare America to this utopian city that you've created, a country that you've created out of your own mind, well, go live there. That place doesn't exist. I heard Charlie Kirk, he was talking to a student, and the student said, "Well, I hate America." And he said, Charlie said, "Well, do you plan to leave America?" He said, "No." And he said, "That shows you the greatness of America. Even the people that say they hate America don't want to leave America." Now, East Germany, before the wall came down, those people, they had a wall to keep the people in. Not to keep people out. Nobody wanted to go there, but to keep people in. They would shoot you if you tried to climb over the wall and escape from that place. Well, what does that tell you? Communism is horrible. And people in those communistic countries, they would love to get out of there. They would love to come to America, obviously, because America still is the land of the free and the home of the brave, even though that's been dinged quite a bit over the years. But as far as the left-leaning media, I think you have the puppet masters that want America to become socialistic, and they want to, you know, they want to have all the power, and, you know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. I think you have some of these minions in the media that can just be paid off. They're just mercenaries, and so whoever's going to pay me the most money, you know, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Here, write my text for me, my copy. I'll just read it on the air, and it's almost like they're soulless. I think it was Ann Coulter that wrote the book Godless, and she was talking about the left. They have just given themselves over to this ideology that will destroy our country. America was not founded on those things. It was founded on religious freedom, and it was founded on, you make your own way. We are the land of opportunity, and, you know, we're able to pursue happiness, but you have to, nobody's going to hand it to you. You have to do it yourself. And so it's a place where, as Dinesh D'Souza says, you can come into America, and if you work hard, you can earn your way, and you can make something out of your life. You know, in India, you're stuck in a caste. You can't get out of there. But America is the land of opportunity. And so it's sad, but it's also demonic. And the devil is at work. And people that try and divorce, you know, "Oh, that's spiritual. That doesn't have anything to do with it." That has everything to do with it. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. The whole world, 1 John 5:19, lies in the power of the evil one. And so the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so the devil is at work. God is allowing this to happen. And guess what? First Baptist Texarkana, we're talking about end times. We're talking about when the Son of Man comes. Jesus talked about end times in Matthew 24 and 25. And things are moving toward a one world government, toward a one world leader. We know him as the Antichrist. And so God is allowing all this to happen to bring evil to an end, and that will happen one day. You know, people always say, well, you know, if God were really in charge, and why does he allow evil to exist? I'm not going to worship a God who allows evil to exist, and diseases and child abuse and all these terrible things that come into our world. Well, one day God is going to put an end to all of that. You read Revelation chapter 21 and 22, and guess what? There's no more sin. There's no more disease. There's no death. There's no mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And so God doesn't do it immediately. He's doing it over time. And here's the thing that is amazing. I was talking to Janet Parshall just earlier this week. She did an interview with me regarding my new book, The Devil's Newsroom. And I said, you know, during the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth, it's a time of heaven on earth. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that takes place during the thousand-year reign, the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no death, there is no sickness and the things that we experience now. It goes back to the Garden of Eden days. And people are born during the millennial kingdom. And people, even though you can see Jesus, you still have to put your faith and trust in Jesus. And over a thousand-year period, there's no more pain in childbirth. The curse is taken away from the earth. The desert blooms like a rose. The knowledge of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. The lion lays down with the lamb. The little child plays at the den of the cobra. And the Lord says, they will not hurt in all my holy mountain. And so it's just a wonderful time. And at the end of that time period, the devil is incarcerated during those thousand years. He's put into the bottomless pit. But at the end of the thousand years, the Lord releases the devil from his prison. And he goes about and he draws to himself rebels like the sand that is on the seashore. Those who pretended to be believers in Jesus and followers of Jesus, but they weren't. It was just all a show. Your enemies will give feigned obedience to you, as the Bible says in the book of Psalms. And he gathers those rebels to himself like the sand of the seashore, and they go up against the holy city. They go up against the Lord and his saints, and fire comes down from heaven and destroys them all. And then the devil is put into the lake of fire. Now, why is that? Why does the Lord allow that to happen, this final rebellion? It's to show man, once and for all and forever, that there is something inside of man, the heart of sin, that says, I do not want this man, speaking of Jesus, to reign over me. I want to be my own boss. I want to do what I want to do. And that's really the heart of sin. That's what Eve and Adam did. They said, I want to be in charge. I want to make my own decisions. I want to be captain of my own ship. And so if man lives in a perfect environment, which they will during the millennial kingdom, they still have to humble their heart before the Lord and cry out for his mercy and grace and yield their lives to him and recognize that God is God and you and I are not God. We need God and we need him every day. And the good news is he's available to us and he wants us to abide in him. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Has the media jumped the shark? Yes, they have. But that's okay. We can be discerning. We can get our news from trusted, reliable sources, and we can know the truth and walk in the truth. Well, tune in tonight, 6 o'clock Central Time, for AFA at Home as we talk about the education system. God bless you. Have a great day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.